Next year is the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the Civil War. April 12th, 1861 is the generally acknowledged onset date. That's when the first shots were fired at Fort Sumter. And you can certainly expect to see a lot of celebrations, remembrances, maybe even reenactments. Many of them have the potential, though, to stir up some strong feelings. I mean, remember, this was a war that split the country, that pit brother against brother, and whose effects are still being felt around the nation. So we wanted to talk about one particular event that has the possibility to stir up some strong feelings. It's a secession ball in South Carolina. Our next guest, Jeff Antley, is a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and the Confederate Heritage Trust, and he'll be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the secession of the Confederacy with a formal dance and then a 10-day living history of those first shots fired at Fort Sumter. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
First, tell me about this event. Clearly, many people who see this in a headline are going to say, why are they celebrating the secession? So explain to me the motivations behind this celebration.
Well, I think there's been a misunderstanding a little bit, focusing on one part of it and not the other. This is a theatrical play recreating the secession convention that took place in Charleston in December 19th and 20th, and then followed by a reception afterwards for the guests as well as the actors, which has been, we're calling it a ball because it has both components to it, has been a little bit misunderstood. I don't think it's any different than a reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg or whatever, other than the fact that it's not military, it's more political.
But you can understand how somebody might feel uncomfortable with someone celebrating the secession of South Carolina. It was saying, look, how could you celebrate secession and not have it be all about slavery?
Well, of course you can have a discussion about secession because slavery is a component. Slavery is an abomination. Slavery is wrong. All of those things apply. To say that the South Carolina as a state seceded from the Union solely based on the component of black servitude or African servitude is just not educated in history. It's just not a study of the facts. And so, yes, it's a component of all the states that left the Union, and it was also a component of all the northern states had slavery too, with the exception of three at the time. So it's not slavery is not a southern problem. Slavery is an American problem. But the other components of what these men did in taking South Carolina out of the Union deserves to be looked at. The whole event deserves to be looked at and not just shoved away because it happened to be involving slavery again.
Well, you know, in our federal system, the mechanisms for secession are still there. Can you imagine an issue today that would motivate states seceding from the Union, deciding to go it alone? I mean, states' rights questions come before the Supreme Court every year.
I think the overreaching federal government is what caused the war. Yes, you can throw all of the tariffs, the slavery component, the states' rights, all of those, that long litany of lists together. But in the end, what would motivate someone to seek a better serving government is the overreaching federal government.
All right. Also with us is Kenneth Davis, New York Times bestselling author of Don't Know Much About History and Don't Know Much About the Civil War. Good morning, Kenneth.
Good morning, Celeste. Always a pleasure to be with you.
And nice to have you. And, this was a question for Jeff as well. But, Kenneth, I want to read, kind of go back to this issue of how much of a component slavery played in secession, because it's hard to separate secession, the act of secession, from the motivators behind it. And I looked up the actual secession declaration from South Carolina, and they said, on the fourth day of March next, this party will take possession of the government as announced. The South shall be excluded from the common territory, that the judicial tribunal shall be made sectional, and that a war must be waged against slavery until it shall cease throughout the United States. That was part of their declaration.
And lots of people throughout history have made very interesting declarations that have nothing to do with reality. And welcome to the other guests. I appreciate his comments. But, you know, when we're dealing with history, we have to deal with facts, not feelings. And when we get into this question of celebrate, and I understand his idea of this reenacting the secession convention is a great idea. To a lot of people, however, the Civil War means gone with the wind. And history is about facts, not feelings, and not romanticizing this period. There was one issue that drove this war, and I think that this is much more widely agreed upon, and it was the issue of slavery, not as a moral issue, but as a political and economic issue. This was the thing that drove the states' rights movement. There was only one right that really mattered, the right to continue bringing slaves not just into the South, but into the states that were being opened up in the Western territories. This was a political issue, of course, because slaves were being counted as three-fifths of a man under the Constitution, and that was keeping the South in some degree of political power as the great waves of immigration came into the North.
Kenneth, just one second. I mean, as a historian, I mean, clearly a lot of the history of not just our nation, but the world is messy, and some of it is things that we may be uncomfortable reliving. And yet there is a value, right, in reliving or going back and revisiting some of these moments which may make us uncomfortable.
Oh, I agree completely, and the uncomfortable part should be certainly the aspect that we don't overlook. That's why I think that having a recreation of the Secession Convention is a wonderful idea. I'd probably be interested in attending if I could. And certainly it has been presented in the New York Times story the other day as more of a celebration of the Confederacy than a teaching moment. And I think that it is a wonderful teaching moment, but this idea that slavery was not at the heart of the conflict is a mistaken notion, a misconception that lives on in our so-called history of the Civil War period. There was one key difference between the U.S. Constitution and the Confederate Constitution. There were about five or six basic differences, but one key difference, and that was that the Confederate Constitution ruled that the states could make no laws regarding slavery. Everything else pretty much stayed the same. That was the heart of the Constitution that the Confederacy wrote. I think that pretty much says it all.
All right. That's Kenneth Davis, New York Times bestselling author of Don't Know Much About History and Don't Know Much About the Civil War. We also spoke with Jeff Antley, a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans and the Confederate Heritage Trust. He's organizing the Secession Ball in Charleston and a 10-day living history of the secession of South Carolina from the Union. Thanks to both of you.
150 years since those
seems
states
like yesterday.
Well, not so much the impulse to actually do something as radical as that. And, you know, I'm reminded of Prohibition, also a radical constitutional act. You know, we don't think in terms of radicalism in the United States anymore, but I wonder if there are issues that would provoke that. What do you want to say about that subject or any other? Go to thetakeaway.org. You can post what you think about the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. Get a playlist on Hanukkah music from Ben Queller, all at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.